living together unoffended. How many of you would say, yeah, I took that class. I remember that. That's a little joke some of the members have when they say, I took that class twice. So, no, I'm good. Meaning, no, I'm not going to get offended, nor will I offend someone else. And so it's not just about being offended. It's about making sure you're not offending someone else as well. And so we started this on Wednesday. I want to read the scriptures, recap just a little bit what we talked about Wednesday, and keep us moving, because by the end of this month and the teachings, we're going to really move into how we live in this place. It's one thing to talk about offense, but then how do we move past it? And so I want to be able to help all of us. And if you've never been offended, you've never offended anybody, then just bear with me. That was a joke, y'all. But Jesus said it this way. I'm going to Luke 17, verse 1. Luke 17. Let's see here. Come on. There we go. Luke 17, verse 1. Jesus is talking here. Then he said to the disciples, it is impossible that no offenses should come. But woe to him who through whom they do come. It would be better for him to, if a millstone were hung around his neck, that he were thrown into the sea, than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. If he repents, forgive him. Now, that rebuke is a strong word. A lot of times we hear that. But if your brother sins against you, he's saying bring it to his attention. If he repents, forgive him. And if he sins again against you seven times a day, and seven times a day returns saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. Reading it again, I think it's the Message Bible here. It says, he said to his disciples, Kelvin, let me have one of those too. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Kelvin. He said to his disciples, hard trials and temptations are bound to come to you. But too bad for whoever brings them on. Better to wear a millstone necklace and take a swim in the deep blue sea than give one of these dear little ones a hard time. Be alert. If you see your friend going wrong, correct him. If he responds, forgive him. Even if it's personal against you and repeat it seven times through the day, and seven times he says, I'm sorry, I won't do it again, forgive me. Forgive him. The apostles came to Jesus and said, give us more faith. They're saying, we don't know that we can do this. You need to give us more faith. And I might add, give us more grace. Give us more grace. It's in Luke 7, verse 23. It says this, blessed is the one who does not take offense at me. That's Jesus speaking there. John 6, verse 61, it says, when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, something that he was saying, he said to them, doth this offend you? Are you offended by what I'm saying? Proverbs 18, verse 19, it says, a brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and contentions are like the bars of a citadel. Psalms 119, verse 165 says, great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Acts 24, verse 16, Paul is writing here. He says, and herein do I exercise myself to always have a conscience, to have always a conscious void of offense toward God and towards men. When I look at the scriptures and I read through these passages and the context in which Jesus is speaking, I believe that we can live our lives, that while Jesus says you have to know that it's almost impossible to not deal with offenses, that you don't have to stay offended. Come on, say, I don't have to stay offended. Now, I may be offended initially, but you can do something about that. And that's where I want to begin to help us in this series. 2 Timothy 2:20-26. I'm not going to read that right now, Pastor Deborah. But it's out of that passage that helps us to know that when we give in to offense, we are giving the enemy place in our lives. We're giving the enemy place. As a matter of fact, well, let me go back and just read the latter part of this verse. Part 25, it says, I got to read the whole thing to put it in context. I'm trying to move on, but you got to get it in context. So 2 Timothy 2:20-26, it says, in a well-furnished kitchen, there are not only crystal goblets and silver platters. I'm reading from the Message Bible. I believe this is Message. Deborah, is this Message Bible? All right. But waste cans and compost buckets, some containers used to serve fine meals, others to take out the garbage. Become the kind of container God can use to present any and every kind of gift to his guests for their blessing. Run away from infantile indulgence. Run after mature righteousness, faith, love, peace. Joining those who are in honest and serious prayer before God. Refuse to get involved in inane discussions. They always end up in fights. God's servant must not be argumentative, but a gentle listener and a teacher who keeps his cool, working firmly but patiently with those who refuse to obey. Then it says, you never know how or when God might sober them up with a change of heart and a turning to the truth, enabling them to escape the devil's trap. This is what I'm talking about here. Escape the devil's trap where they are caught and held captive, forced to run his errands. Simply meaning that out of this place of offense, you can then become a tool of the enemy. And maybe sometimes, and you don't even know it. On past Wednesday, I talked about this. I want to share this point, these points again, and then I want to move into the next part for the time that we have here. I talk about opportunities for offense can be found in these things. Number one is insecurities. Insecurities. All of us, at one time or another, can deal with insecurity. Secondly, we can deal with immaturity. I have found that often people get offended because they're just insecure or they're immature. I know that I have been offended out of insecurity and out of immaturity. Can anybody else just kind of raise your hand slowly? Like, I think that might have been me at one point. Insensitivity. Opportunities for offense can be found in insensitivity, when we're insensitive, but at the same time when others are overly sensitive. See, it goes both ways. Sometimes you're relating to someone, talking with someone, trying to minister to someone, and they're overly sensitive. And out of being overly sensitive, they get offended. After now 45 years of ministry, 26 years of ministry as a senior pastor, you deal with a whole lot of offense. You deal with, I've dealt with being offended, and I've had to deal with others having been offended. Opportunities for offense can be found in insecurities, immaturity, insensitivity, or overly sensitive. Miscommunications. This is a big one right here. Because more often than not, if we can just be able to communicate and hear one another the way that we're trying to communicate it, it would take care of a lot of offense that we often are dealing with. I'm a firm believer that when you need to communicate something that needs to be out of the heart with some great sensitivity, don't email. Certainly don't text, because it doesn't come through. Man, do a video or something. If you can't do it face-to-face, our smartphones are, you know, I just need to share something with you right now. And then send them that so they can see you while you're saying it. People can't see you smiling with an email. I don't care how many emoji smiley faces you put on it. Depending on where they are will depend on how they receive it. And sometimes I've written things, communicated things, and people got offended over it because they're adding their own narrative, their own tone to it. Same thing with text. Miscommunication. Sometimes you can work through an offense just by talking it through. I thought you meant this. No, that's not really what I really meant was this. Sometimes when you're communicating, the best thing you can do is say, now, can you repeat back to me what I just said to you so that I can understand that you really understood what I said? Thank you, son. Opportunities for offense can be found in unfulfilled or unrealistic expectations. I think I have a reference in Luke 7. We don't have to go there right now, but in Luke 7, around verse 18, is where John sends word to two of his guys to Jesus, and he poses this question. He says, are you the one, or should we look for another? Now, John's struggling. He's dealing with, because he's not seeing what he expected to see. Come on, say expectation. Sometimes unfulfilled expectations, unrealistic expectations move us to a place of offense. And that kind of goes back to communication. Because we have to learn to be clear in our communication, so hopefully it will help in the expectations. Unrealistic expectations, unfulfilled expectations. So Jesus, he has them go with him, and he starts working miracles and stuff. He says, now go back and tell John what you saw. That ought to settle that for John. But you'll remember in 2 Kings 5, you can just make note of that. I don't want to go there either right now. 2 Kings 5, it's the healing of Naaman the leper. As a matter of fact, Deborah, put up 2 Kings 5, 10, and 11. Let's put that up on the screen. Because Naaman was one who was used to having, you know, this array of this army around him. He was a general. He was a commander. So he was used to people doing what he thought they should do. And so when word came that there was a prophet in the land that he could be healed of his leprosy, when the servant went to went to the prophet. The prophet said, go tell him dip into Jordan 7 times. That's what he told him. But Naaman, look here, it says, Elijah sent a messenger to him saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times and your flesh will be restored to you and you will be clean. Now, how many of you know that's all you need to hear right there? I mean, if you really want to be healed, if you really want to be delivered, if you really want to be set free, that's all. Just show me where the Jordan is. Help me get to the Jordan. Matter of fact, I'm going to dip 8 just to make sure I didn't miss the count. 8, new beginnings. Yeah. He said, tell him go dip in the Jordan 7 times. Here's his response. But Naaman was furious and went away and said, behold, I thought. Expectation. I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord, his God, and wave his hand over the place and cure the leper. His expectation was this thing is going to be spectacular. This thing is going to be a show. I mean, I'm important, and I need what he does to match my importance. But how many of you know God does some of his best work behind the scenes? He does some of his best work behind the scenes. He's like, the prophet said, just go tell him wash in the Jordan 7 times, he'd be good. But his expectation caused him to about to miss his blessing. Is it possible that you and I out of offense, because Naaman was offended. I'm offended. Who does he think he is? Doesn't he know who I am? Now, I know you've never thought that about yourself, but I think I had to get delivered from that a couple times. So a servant said, but if he had told you to go to this river or go to here, wouldn't you have gone? He said, so why can't you just go do this? And he did, and he got healed. Sometimes God will initiate certain things in order to address your pride, to address your arrogance. He'll do it in a way that exposes where your heart really is. Next point is truth spoken but not received. Opportunities for offense can be found in truth spoken but not received. It's in John chapter 6 where Jesus is speaking to the gathering that's with him. And he is sharing about himself. He's speaking truth to them, greater truth, greater revelation. And they begin to grumble amongst themselves. That's why going back to 6:61, it says, when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, at what he was talking about, he said to them, does this offend you? Does what I'm saying offend you? Now, you know, he wasn't asking like he didn't know. You know, he could have said, why are you offended? But they were offended. Truth spoken but not received. We have to own that part as well when it comes to offending or being offended. Truth spoken but not received. Next one, truth spoken at an inappropriate time. Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit is gracious towards all of us. Thank God for mercy and grace. He doesn't expose us. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, just say thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you. But it doesn't mean that he lets anything go. He will come. He is the Spirit of truth. He will speak truth. Sometimes we have to be very careful when we're speaking to others. You may want to speak a truth, but you need to make sure that's the appropriate time. Lest the person be offended. What you're saying is something that needs to be said, something that needs to be heard. But is it in God's timing? You've heard me make this statement. Just because you have the right to say it doesn't mean it's right to say it. Just because you have the right to say it doesn't mean it's right to say it. Some things you just have to hold. You need to hold it. You need to give it to God. And if it needs to be uttered, he'll let you know. Holy Spirit will let you know the timing to say that. So often in the raising and the rearing of our children, there's times when you have to know when to say things and when just to pray. You have to know that they're not going to hear me in this season of their life. Truth spoken at an inappropriate time. Lastly, as far as this truth spoken, void of love, mercy, grace, relationship. Some time ago, I wrote in my Bible, and I don't think it's in this Bible. But I wrote in my Bible what I called 7 dangerous possessions. And one was truth spoken without relationship. Truth spoken without relationship. By and large, people will hear you if they know you care and know that you love them. But all too often, and this is one of the drawbacks of prophetic ministry, you got to know just because God's shown you something and you see something doesn't mean you're supposed to talk about it, say something about it, utter it at all. And if you do, you need to make sure that love, mercy, grace is right there with you. Truth can hurt. Truth can hurt. But the way Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of truth, works, he never shows up without mercy and grace right there with him. Come on, guys, we got this. You got this. Why? Because oftentimes truth by itself can be devastating. But mercy is there so you don't have to bear the brunt of the penalty of the truth that you're dealing with. And grace is there to bring about the comfort and healing to help you. Is this making sense to you? So I like to say it this way. If you're coming with truth, make sure love, mercy, and grace are with you. There may be more than just this list here, but this is the way God has spoken this to me. It's the way he has shown it to me. And I believe that we are in a season right now where he's saying, I want your relationship shored up with me and with one another. Yes. The church right now is so fractured. It's a mess. And yet there are people in other religions, if we want to use that term, who God is using in incredible ways. They've gotten past the religious lens and seeing mankind in need of help. Can't afford to get offended. Can't afford to be offended. One of the things that helped me begin to move into this place and endeavor to govern my life out of this place was this scene I saw in a movie where this lady thought she had hurt, offended this guy, and she said, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to hurt you. And he said to her, you don't have that kind of power. I was like, oh my God, that's a word right there. So I've had people say to me, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to offend you. I said, you don't have that kind of power. Because if I take on offense because of what you said or what you did, now I'm giving you power. Now I'm giving you control. And can I tell you something? It will mess up your life. Yes. And I'm going to get into a little bit of that as we move on. So for the next few moments, I want to talk about the dangers of sharing your offense with others. I'm going to talk about the dangers now of sharing your offense with others. I want you to know that when we start doing that, what it creates is what I call a maze of offenses. It creates a maze. How many know what a maze is? Some of those maze puzzles, you know, you've seen them where there's all the things. And it's like, if you could take a maze, I had one years ago when I taught this the very first time. I had this maze, it was a circle, and it was like, man, it was very intricate. And then right in the middle of it, I said, you are here. Like, right in the middle of it. Because here's some things, some takeaways that I want you to get this morning in this time. The dangers of sharing offenses with others. One, people can take on your offense and continue carrying it long after you have reconciled. Now you might want to take a picture of these. People can take on your offense and continue to carry it long after you have reconciled. People love you, people are close to you, and out of your pain, discomfort, whatever it is, you share how that you feel that you've been wronged or out of your offense, you share. When you share that, that person who loves you, cares for you, they take on that offense right with you. You what? Oh, wait till I see them. It's like, wait a minute, don't do that. However, now you've deposited in them a degree of offense on your behalf. Now, up until that point, they were good with that other person. They were good with that situation. And then you share it. Now, when you share it, now they take it on. But going back to 2 Timothy, to the latter part there of 25, it says, you never know how or when God might sober them up with a change of heart and a turning to the truth, enabling them to escape the devil's trap, meaning God can move in that situation, as I know he has in my life a few times. And then if I'm honest and if I'm integrous, then I need to, in my heart and mind, I need to be able to say, Holy Spirit, now I need you to show me anyone that I talk to about this, that's carrying this, that's still carrying this, so I can help them know I'm free. It's straightened out now. We're all good. Because you see, depending on your position, your influence, your reach, that's how many people can be affected by your offense that's shared. Is this making sense? Secondly, the danger of sharing your offense with others is that the people you share it with now become vulnerable to be caught in the same trap. So when you share it, it sets them up for offense and allows the enemy to begin to work in their lives and in their situations as well. Next, the more people you share it with, the stronger the offense becomes. The stronger it becomes. Matter of fact, just let's read this one together. Here we go. The more you share, okay, I'm like, we all reading together out loud. You can look at the screen. The more people you share it with, the stronger the offense and the effects of it become in you. It's like continually to build a fortified wall around yourself. You can't get out and no one can get in. Stronghold. Stronghold. Remember the verse that I read out of Proverbs? A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city. And contentions are like the bars of a citadel, meaning simply, you share it, now you're building this fortress. The more people you share it with, the stronger the offense becomes. In you first. It's building this fortified wall around yourself, and you can't get out of it. You've created this stronghold. It's in the book of Joshua, around chapter 3, I believe it is, where they are going to take Jericho. Now let's go back in chapter 2, where the two spies are sent, and they come to Rahab, Rahab said this, we heard about you, the reputation of your God, way before you got here. The moment we heard you were coming, every man's heart melted. As a matter of fact, concerning Jericho, it says the city was shut up, no one went out, and no one came in. That's how afraid they were. We're not letting anybody out, we're not letting anybody in. It was a fortress. This is what happens when we create this maze of offenses. Because you see, you have to know it's not just who you share it with, it's who they share it with. That's what creates the maze of offenses. And then after a while, you don't know who all knows. Matter of fact, somebody can come up to you that you don't think even knows what I heard about. Oh my God, that is terrible. Now they're carrying something you didn't even know they even knew anything about. Didn't know you was even on their radar. But somebody said something to somebody, something. Before you know it, you've created this maze. And the challenge with that is you're right in the middle of it. The more people you share it with, it grows in you and those around you. and it grows like an infection. I'm trying to move along here. I'm trying to pace myself, and I think I can get through one more section here in just a moment. Is this helping anybody? I know it's like real quiet, so I just want to make sure. Yeah. Okay, so just say amen, just like, okay, I just need a church amen right there, just okay. That means like, so be it, yeah, you know. I know this isn't an amen kind of service, I mean teaching, you know. And then maybe it is. The more people you share it with, it grows in you and those around you. It grows like an infection. It's like a disease. I got an amen. Thank you, Jesus. Offended people attract offended people. You will gather to yourself others who are still carrying their own offenses too. You see, it's toxic, unhealthy, unfruitful. Years ago, I found myself being offended, and it just spiraled out. It just, with choices and decisions being made that were not the best decisions. And in part, and I'll talk more about that a little later in the teaching, but I remember that I and my family, we left a church out of my offense, being offended, and started attending this other church. And they graciously received us. They graciously received me, my gifts, what I brought. And we were attending this small church. And it became apparent that everybody in that church had been hurt and carrying offenses, including the pastor. The church was built on the foundation of an offense. This pastor, loving, gracious man, even to this day, I will always be grateful to him for his friendship and how he helped our family as best he could. But God knew the help that I needed wasn't there. And I remember sitting down with him one day and asking him, how did you start this church, you know? Because, see, he was a Methodist pastor. But one day, he got filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues. And the Methodist church kicked him out. They said, you can't stay here. Took away his pastorship. Out of his hurt, out of his offense, those who loved him, knew him, went with him. And that's how that church started. What I had to navigate through years later was I was there because I was offended. Didn't matter about my gifts. Didn't matter about my skill. Didn't matter about any of that. By God's grace, what I ended up doing was coming back to my family, to Maurice, to Pastor Maurice and our kids, saying, I'm sorry. That season was because of this. See, here's the thing when we talk about this, living together unoffended. The sooner you're able and willing to own your stuff, the sooner you can walk in the greater blessings that God has. What I mean by that is this. Pastor Maurice and I were watching the show the other day, and she was watching, and she was like, wait a minute, because she was flowing with the message till a guy said something. She backed up. She said, come here, listen to this. Now, he was saying this, and this was good, but then he said this, and the point the guy was making was he made a decision, put him in a difficult place, and then he said that God, that was God telling him to do that. Now, what he said didn't make sense. And I said to Pastor Murray, I said, yeah, I think he missed it right there. But here's my point with that, for any and all of us. When you can say, I missed it, I was wrong, I got offended, and I carry that offense, that's when God can say, okay, we're good. Because up till now, you were still making that my issue. And it never was. Is this making sense to you? It's like, listen, you can't keep blaming everything on God. Matter of fact, you don't even be blaming anything on God. But I remember now when I look back at that situation, I'm saying, my God, yo, everybody in there had issues. It was like David at the cave of Adullam. Y'all know that passage of scripture. David goes to the cave of Adullam, and all that gather to him are the in debt, discontent, and in distress. And in the midst of that, a word comes to him. And I felt the same word come to me after a while of navigating through that situation. Got to get out of here. Matter of fact, what God spoke to me, he said, what I have for you is not here, meaning in Columbus. And that's what moved us eventually to Cincinnati. But word came to David, said, you got to get out of this cave. You get to the land of Judah. Praise. Judah means praise. David was a worshiper. You got to get out of this dark place. You've gathered to yourself those that are struggling just like you're struggling. They're dealing with their own offenses. And I thank God that when AIR started, it wasn't based on an offense. It was simply based on God saying, this is what I want you to do. I thank God for that. I'm going to just clap myself. Because you see, it's easy for people to do that. When they're gifted and they have certain abilities, they can say, ah, oh, God help me. God's leading me to do this. Or they look at someone in a position, not recognizing that the grace that's on your life isn't the same grace on their life. So while the gifts may be similar, don't think you can do what they do, because you got to understand what level of grace they're operating under. It may be exponentially more grace than the grace that's operating on your life. Doesn't mean that your gift, your call, your ability is any less, but God will grace you and equip you for the setting he puts you in. And you can't get bothered, agitated, or offended when it doesn't work for you the way that you think it should, because you're looking at somebody else. Paul said, they that compare themselves amongst themselves are not wise. Don't do it. Look at somebody and say, don't do it. So I've seen over and over and over people get offended. Yes, brother. Get offended because their gift isn't being utilized in a certain house. And so they decide, you know, God's calling me to do it over here this way. You got to know that's the enemy. I'm telling you because I lived it. I lived it. And it affected a lot of people. Why? Because the position I was in at the time was one of great a platform. I was the worship leader for the house. Second most visible person in the ministry, other than the pastor. And it took years to bring what God said was complete and total restoration. Not the kind of stuff we do, y'all, where we get offended and we want to sweep it under the rug. You better believe one thing. God sees under that rug just like he sees on top of that rug, okay? And he will always remind us from time to time. Now, you remember that there now, okay? And for me, I'll tell you, It came at a time when I was seeking God for future with what to do with the ministry. I remember sitting on my couch and and just saying, God, if there's anything standing in the way of what you're doing, want to do in my life, I'm just asking you to show it to me. And God spoke to me and he said, now, you know, I don't know what I was expecting to hear, but this is years later now. And he's saying, when you left that church, you didn't leave right. And you need to make it right. Now, only person that heard that was me and God. And yet, I knew, because you see, at the end of the day, I really intend to live out of the integrity of my heart before God. Yeah. See, it's not what you think I ought to do. It's what I hear him telling me that bears the most weight. Because sometimes you don't know, but God and I know. All right, y'all want me to go a little longer or you want to take communion and go eat? So I need to weave in this story so you don't think I'm just sharing principles with you. So serving in this church, worship leader, God is blessing us. I wrote my first book. The book comes out, The Second Flood, The Discipline of Worship. God's blessing the book. Doors are starting to open up around the country. Asked me to come speak here, speak there on worship. Some of the songs that I've written back then were now being sung. One particular song, Integrity Music, called Under the Shadow. So I'm feeling pretty good. Things are moving forward. And I had this altercation with one of the pastors in the church at the time. He said something to me that I felt he had no right to say. I got up and I walked out. I was offended. When I met with the, when I called the pastor, the senior pastor, he said this to me, I want to meet. I want all of us to meet. You know what he said? No, I'm not going to do that. Now I have to tell you this. See, most people think, a lot of believers think that you know the best way that it should go. But I'm telling you, now, 26 years as a senior pastor, I know why he made that decision. Because I went through the same exact thing. See, until it's all clean, you will deal with the same thing again. Because I had a musician, an incredible musician with us. And we hit this place where I had to address some things with him. And then he left. Went home and said, I forced him to resign. He's creating his own narrative. Then he came back to me and said, I want to meet with the board. I'm telling you, as sure as I'm standing here, what I went through flashed in my mind, and that pastor who said, no, I don't think I'm going to do that, I understood why. But it took years. Years. Because what I had allowed to create was this maze of offenses. And there were people that I would see every time we would go up to Columbus and we'd be in that setting. And I would hear things like, you know, it's never been the same since you've left. What are they doing? They're still carrying the offense. In the offended zone, that's what I'm going to call it, in that maze, let me give you some points here. When you enter the offended zone, oh, did you have that graphic, that circle? I thought I saw it. Yeah, there you go. When you're offended, you see that? That's you. The more people you talk to, that's how complex it gets. the maze of offense. Thank you for finding that. Well, thank you for doing that if you just did it. That's what I was dealing with and taking my family through. Yeah, I'm just pausing so y'all can really look at that real good. Because see, if you're dealing with offenses right now, you got to realize it ain't just you. You enter the offended zone. That's what I call it, like the twilight zone. Everything said to you when you're in this place is received as negative or suspect. You become skeptical and cynical towards everything and everybody. You see, when I made that decision, was offended, and we left this church, and this church, this pastor had been nothing but good to me and to us. But because I was offended, see, it skews your, all the good stuff gets pushed away. All you want to see is the negative. Everything you receive, everything that comes to you, you receive it as negative, suspect. You become skeptical, cynical. I remember one gentleman came to me shortly after that time. He said, I don't know what happened, but I think you need to just come back. Man, just suck it up. Just apologize. You know, da, da, da. I said, no, man. No, I ain't doing that. Why? Because you see, now I'm dealing with pride. Offense can lead you into pride. Better yet, pride can lead you into offense. That's a vicious cycle right there. In the offended zone, you close yourself off from those who have or you believe have caused the offense. You just shut everybody out. And you have to recognize the enemy loves to isolate the believer. Get us separated from one another. You are blinded to the good that was done and only focus on the offense. Now, I said that a moment ago. You get blinded. You choose not to remember. You choose not to be reminded of the good because all you want to see is the offense. See, most of you don't know that my gift of worship in terms of leading worship started at that church that I'm talking about. They invested in me. They sent me to Dallas, Texas, to the International Worship Institute, where I still have relationships to this day as a result of having gone there. Sent me there. Sent a team of us there. This was in the late 80s when they sent me. I went just as a participant. Slowly but surely, I began to be asked to do workshops. By the last International Worship Institute they ever had, I was the keynote speaker for the opening session, the very last one. That's how God had moved. But back in that time when I was offended, the enemy just causes you to be blinded to, numb to all of that. And sometimes, because you're offended, you just won't allow yourself to be open to receiving because you've built that fortress. You've built that wall. You take on the attitude that you are going to prove everybody wrong who you believe offended you. Meaning, I'm going to show them. God's still blessing me. Yeah, I'm going to show them. When you see how God blesses me next, you're going to know. You know, I'm telling you, this stuff is insane. But I'm not making it up. I'm telling you stuff I had to deal with in my head. because you can end up in this place, and it's prideful. When what you really need to do, you really want to do, is humble yourself and say, God, I don't know what I'm doing. I've messed up. I need you to help me. Because first and foremost, I want to be right with you. And the Bible makes it clear. The Bible makes it clear. God says, look, we can be good, but we ain't going to be that good until you're good with the people, until you're good with my body. That's why in one passage of Scripture, Jesus says, if you're bringing your offering, and while you're bringing it, you remember your brother got a situation to ought with you, you need to leave that right there, and you need to go handle your business and then come back. Because you see, God isn't just looking at what we give in terms of offering. He's looking at your heart. He's not just looking at your heart. He's looking at the relationships that you have. Because here's where real value is in the kingdom. It's not the money. It's the relationships. It's the connections of the body. That's why we've got to go through this and talk about offenses. None of us are prone to it. None of us. I'm trying to really say things, but take my time with this because we got to get it. I was dealing with an offense recently. Felt I was wronged in a certain way. Felt I'd been wronged. And I had a prophet give me a word that said, look, you need to let that go. He says, you need to let that go so that God can release to you all that he has for you. And when he said it to me, I knew right then the grace was there. I'm going back to truth now, okay? Okay, this is a brother I'm in relationship with. He's a strong prophet. Love, mercy, grace. I heard it. I said, you're right. I repented right then. I repented right then. And it had to do with my personal feelings of being wronged in this area of worship and a relationship and some music and some songs. And I said, God, I give it to you. And I want you to bless him. And it seems like, here's the thing. See, sometimes you don't know the more God has, and you won't see it until you let go of the offense. Till you're able to get that worked out. Because what I didn't realize is my gift, my reach, how God wanted to move through me was being hindered because I was allowing myself to be offended over this situation. The moment I let it go, all of a sudden doors started opening up. Doors started opening up. Doors continuing to open up. In the offended zone, you become critical and judgmental of those, everyone around you. You become critical and judgmental of those around you. In the offended zone, the enemy has legal right to your stuff because you have become a tool of the enemy. The enemy has legal right to your stuff because you have become a tool to the enemy. Deborah, I'm waiting for you to put that one on the screen. The enemy has legal right to your stuff because you have become a tool to the enemy. I want you to know you will only get so far. See, you may be blessed, but you're not as blessed as God intends for you to be blessed while still walking in offense, dealing with the offense, even having offended someone. God was gracious to take care of us, but let me tell you something. That's a place you don't want to live in. Because very little of what you do will last. in that space. In that offended zone, we struggled. We struggled. And it seemed like we got one break and then something else happened. One of the things that I share, and I shared this in my book, right when God began to move on our behalf, and there were moments of reconciliation, but still not completely done. I remember I was working for a labor union at the time. Pastor Marisa called me. She said, hey, I need to let you know somebody came driving down the street, flying down the street, hit both of our cars. Totaled one, damaged the other, and it was still drivable. What am I saying to you? In a place of offense, gives the enemy entrance into your stuff. Because it didn't matter what we were doing, what I was trying to do. It's like we just kept getting hit. We kept getting hit. Because until you get that straight, the enemy's going to always be able to maneuver in it and often maneuver around things. The more you stay in the offended zone, you begin to suffer loss. The longer you're offended, the longer you stay there. And lastly, no matter how gifted you are, you will bear little fruit in the offended zone. Okay, so I need to make just a few more points here because this will help us move into a place I believe Holy Spirit can help us around this time of communion. You may be one who saying, well, you know, yeah, I used to be offended. I'm not offended anymore. I'm really not. I'm over it. I felt that about myself, you know. No, I'm not offended. Until let me say this. You know you're still offended when you see the person or place and you get agitated. You ever think, yeah, I'm good? Then you see the person. You see the place. You know you're still offended when you hear the person or place's name and you get agitated. There was a season where I don't want to hear the name of that church. I don't want to hear the name. You can not recognize that you haven't gotten the healing. You haven't been able to settle it. And it's those little things that kind of creep up. We moved to Cincinnati in 92. I moved there, we moved here, and I took on a role as the pastor of music, worship, and arts. It was truly God for us in so many ways. But the opportunity that I was given, someone came to me 6 months before and said to me, There's a church in Cincinnati, they're looking for a music pastor. Man, I believe this is you. I believe this is what God has for you. I asked him a few questions. What he shared with me about the church reminded me of the other church. So I told him, no, I'm not interested. I'm operating out of offense and is blocking what God wants to do. Because when you're offended, you're looking through that lens. And sometimes what you're looking at really isn't what you think it is. But because you're looking through the lens of offense, you're going to see it the same. By God's mercy and by God's grace, those 6 months went by and they never found anybody. And then the guy calls me and says, did you ever follow up on? I said, no, I didn't, man, but I will now. Why? Because God was starting to do a work in my heart. I was allowing him to do the work in my heart. And came down, met with the pastors. Pastor Maurice and I came down, attended a service. And many of you know that church and all that God has done through that church. And that's where we recorded Nation of Praise. That recording is still touching nations right now. But for me personally, it had to do with letting go of offenses. You know that you're still offended when you want to add something negative about a person, situation, or place. What do I mean by that? You know you're still offended when you hear the person's name, but you don't want to speak well of them. You hear the person's name, situation, the ministry, or whatever, and you will let someone say something positive, and then you say, yeah, but you know. It can be as simple as that. That says, okay, there's something going on with you that causes you to not be able to embrace or celebrate even what the person is saying to you. You know you're still offended when you still hold them responsible in some way for your lack of progress or lack of success. How many of you know no one has the power to stop God? But let me add this, but you can. By our actions, by our choices, by our disobedience. You know you're still offended when you are not willing to give them credit for any part of your success and growth or theirs. And lastly, in this part, you know that you're still walking in offense when you are happy and not grieved by the failure or hardship of the person may find themselves in. Meaning their hardship, their difficult times brings you joy. That's a bad place to be in. That's a very deep place of offense. Well, you know, yeah, that man, that church, that person, they're struggling now. Yeah, I knew they would be. Now, I know I'm using examples, y'all, but I'm helping you understand. Listen, often this is where we find ourselves. And yet, God wants all of us to walk free of offenses.